And now stay tuned for the mystery program that is unique among all mystery programs. Because even when you know who is guilty, you always receive a startling surprise at the final curtain. In the Signal Oil program, The Whistler. Signal, the famous Go Farther gasoline, invite you to sit back and enjoy another strange story by The Whistler.
I am The Whistler. That's where I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
And now for the Signal Oil Company, The Whistler's strange story, Whirlpool.
Marty South wasn't sure when it began. It was too much like walking in the middle of a nightmare, and then remaining there, living in it. The shipwreck, the confusion, it was all there again, coming back to him, but slowly, hazily. And there was a strange buzzing in Marty's ears, pressure, and the sound of the sea, whirlpool of confusion. And then gradually, out of the whirlpool, voices, dimly, faintly at first, but voices, growing, coming closer and closer.
Coming around?
It'll be all right, Captain. The shock. It'll be close.
But through it all, one thing seemed clear to Marty South, in focus. Those few swift minutes before the ship heeled over on its side, before he leaped for the lifeboat and missed, there was a girl. Yes, a girl standing in the companionway just outside her cabin. Marty remembered her face, her fair skin, her clear eyes, wild as he shouted at her frantically.
Hey, don't stand there. Get up to the deck, the lifeboat.
Boat? Oh, yes, I was just...
Wait a minute.
Predictable. What I always look for in a case. Here's my car. Drop you someplace, counselor.
Counselor? That's a laugh. I haven't counseled three people in the last month.
Come on, hop in.
No thanks, Lieutenant. Maybe that wounded guy back there is a possible client.
Oh, cut it out, Grant. Things aren't that bad. Anyway, we got him nailed.
Yeah, I suppose. Okay, Lieutenant. I'll let you drop me off at my so-called office.
Good.
You know... You may be right about your element X at that.
Hmm? Now what?
I wasn't expecting a ride.
Okay, have your fun. But I still say there's a lot to it.
It was many weeks after you talked to your friend, Lieutenant Driscoll, wasn't it, Grant? Yes, and they were weeks that seemed like months. And then came that phone call that was to make so much difference.
What was that name again?
I made it.
You sure did, Hastings.
Hastings?
There couldn't be any mistake about his identity, Captain. Huh? Oh, no, that's who he is. He's Hastings, Doctor. There's no doubt about it. His wife identified him.
Oh, could you get her to come in, Captain?
Wife? My wife? No, I...
No, just do that. You're suffering from shock, Mr. Hastings. Exhaustion and severe shock.
Oh, but...
Could you come in, Mr. Hastings?
My husband, is he all right, Captain?
Just come in, please.
No, I don't have it.
You stop, Marty. The protest dying in your throat as you struggle up to one elbow. Look toward the door. It's the same girl, isn't it? The one you faced in the companionway and shouted at. But now she's coming towards you.
Darling.
Speaking differently.
Very different.
My darling, I was so afraid for you, but I told them you'd pull through when I told them who you were.
What?
Doctor, she isn't delirious.
Don't worry, Mrs. Hastings.
Doc.
Yes, Mr. Hastings?
Can you leave us alone?
I'm sure.
I want to be alone with my wife.
Certainly. Captain, we'll wait out on the deck.
Anything you say.
Okay. Now, you tell me what this is all about.
But, darling, you shouldn't try to talk.
Skip it. I can talk. They fish me out. I'm okay. So you're okay.
Of course you are.
My name's South. Like this or in a full dress suit. It's South. Marty South.
It's a nice name. I like it.
That's fine. You were...
Mrs. Stephen Hastings of the Shanghai Hastings. You can call me Lucy.
What about Mr. Hastings?
My husband is dead.
The one that didn't make it?
The one that didn't make it.
What happened to him? How come
you... I don't know. Stop asking me. Stop looking at me like that.
Like what?
My husband Stephen is like that. In the cabin when he first hit me along. He just sat there staring as if he welcome.
Welcome what? Chance to die?
I don't know.
You couldn't get him out?
No,
couldn't
I
couldn't send anybody back here.
I didn't think with something like that happening. I couldn't.
But you've been thinking since?
Yes.
Plenty of it. Well, come on, I'm waiting.
My husband, Stephen, has some money coming to him. It's waiting for him now in Singapore. Waiting for Mr. Hastings to pick it up. Any Mr. Hastings will do. $20,000 now, $30,000 in a couple of weeks, $50,000 altogether. Half of it could be yours.
Yes. To begin with, how can you pass me off with your husband here on board? There are quite a few survivors, have there?
Nobody knew Stephen. He stayed in his cabin half the voyage. Most of the others were picked up by the police.
Oh, we'll see him in Singapore.
No, the police is heading for the United States, and not a soul in Singapore knows that.
Where did the money come from?
From an old friend in Shanghai. E.J. Galloway, former business partner, my husband. You see, E.J. made a mistake on a business deal in Singapore, and I found out about it. I told Stephen what to ask for. He did. He got revenge.
Take down, huh? You must have felt great giving his old pal the blackmail kick.
Well, Stephen didn't have to do that. E.J. doesn't know we're the blackmail. He thinks Stephen is with Dobertman. Stephen should pick up the money in Singapore and make the payoff there to a man who's never seen him. You see, Singapore is where the blackmail lives.
Nice guy, your husband.
He was, you can never see. But weak, terribly weak. Could he only got sick sometimes just thinking about it, about blackmailing the very thing.
And why did he go ahead with it?
He likes me.
Why?
Oh, no, you don't know. I can be quite appealing.
Maybe. To guys like Stephen Hastings.
But not to guys like Martin Sam.
You guessed it.
We'll see. If you get lonesome for me, darling. Stephen. That's very lucky.
That's all, Marty, and then she's gone, leaving me to think it over. But you know her kind. Lucille is a man trap. We figure she'll be back soon to try to help you make up your mind. But that's where you make a mistake, isn't it, Marty? She lets you rest and think. At first, you find yourself strangely curious. Then you think some more, and you decide not to say anything to them about her husband, Stephen Hastings. Money is an important item to you, too, isn't it, Matt? Yes. Half a day out of Singapore, you can't stand it anymore. You call the doctor and send for her.
Just sitting out, how wonderful.
I'm doing better than that. Hasten the score.
Oh?
You don't look as if you don't know why.
Yes, we do. And how nice when you say
that. Well, if you want to know what I decided.
I know.
Yeah?
You like money, man. No, I think you like me.
You hit it with the first part. But get this. I know what I'm going into. To include you only because you're necessary to my immediate prosperity.
I'm very necessary, darling.
So is your having a husband, Stephen. Okay, I'll keep him alive for a while.
Darling, I knew you would.
You're a pretty smart gal, but here's something you don't know. Your husband made a big mistake when he fell in love with you. I'm not going to make the same mistake. I can't afford it.
Oh?
I never let love interfere with my plan. They're busy.
Everything all right, Mr. Hastings?
Huh?
Oh, yes, fine, Doctor. Isn't it, dear?
Yes, sir.
Sure it is. And don't worry, darling. Go for your bedding. Everything is going to be so much better. Soon.
This being the first program in March, I'm reminded of that old saying, in like a lion, out like a lamb. With Signal gasoline, it's just the other way around. It goes into your car as a clear liquid, innocent looking as a lamb. But once inside your engine, it generates the power of a lion. However, while Signal's power may be likened to that of a lion, you'll find your car's appetite for Signal gasoline is gratifyingly small. After all, gasoline that's engineered to help your engine run as efficiently as today's Signal naturally saves gas while you drive, saves with quick starting, saves with smooth pickup free from balking or hesitation, saves with full power that gets you into high gear fast, helps you stay there with a minimum of shifting on hills or in traffic. And of course, the more gasoline you save, the more mileage you enjoy, which explains Signal's good mileage. And the reason we say mileage and performance go hand...
...that the wheel swerves wildly around the corner. And as you get to your feet, you realize grimly that Ralph Leonard has decided to make certain of your silence, however drastic his method. You're afraid to return to your office, and you decide it would be unwise to stay overnight in your own apartment.
Room, sir?
Yes, just a couple of days.
$3, sir. Did you sign?
Yes.
Tom Anderson. Uh-huh. Your key, Mr. Anderson. Room 406.
Thanks.
It's all you can do for the present, isn't it, Grant? Hide in a cheap hotel room under the name of Tom Anderson while you think things out. Ralph Leonard is a problem, isn't he? A serious one. He's out to kill you, to protect Lydia Markham, and perhaps her money as well. But the following day, you hit upon a neat and simple plan for eliminating Ralph, without risk to yourself. You're unaware, of course, as you go about locating...
It's a pretty good hideout. There's a motel near the ocean.
A motel? Good. I'll take you there. Wait in the car. I'll tell my wife you... gone someplace, and that I have to take care of.
You have to help him, don't you, Russ? Even though you're disgusted with the way he handled the shooting. You tell Jean that you've decided to pick up a carton of cigarettes. A few minutes later, you're driving out Wilshire with Frankie Rizzo. He directs you to the Surfside Motel on the beach. You leave him there, return to your own apartment. Answer Jean's sleepy inquiries with the alibi of a flat tire. When you finally turn in, there's little sleep for you, is there, Russ? You're tense and nervous, dreading the moment when you'll have to face your partner, Jim Kendrick, again. And that moment comes the following morning.
You smile, don't you, Grant, as you hang up the receiver. You know what Ralph Leonard is thinking, what he's planning. Because he believes you're stupid enough to meet him at a quiet rendezvous where he can do his talking with a gun. You hurry out of the hotel room, get into your car, and drive to Lydia Markham's apartment.
Oh, it's you.
May I come in, Mrs. Markham?
All right. I asked you to give me a few more days.
I know, but I suddenly discovered I have some rather pressing financial obligations to meet.
You
and
or your clients, Mr. Holmes?
Oh, calm, Mrs. Markham. Surely you must have guessed your friend Ralph did.
Yes.
Aren't you going to ask me to sit down?
Oh, of course. And allow me to serve cocktails.
Well, thanks, though. A bit too early in the day yet. Now... As I was saying...
You're pressed, financially.
I am indeed, Mrs. Markham.
A few thousand would tide me over for a while.
A few thousand?
You're surprised? Yes, that's all. For the time being, at least.
I see.
You needn't mention it, Mr. Leonard.
No, I won't. But, I don't have the money here now. Can you come back tonight?
If you don't mind, I'd rather we met somewhere else.
Mr. Leonard won't be here.
I'd rather we met elsewhere.
All right.
I'll phone you later. Tell you where.
I see. Well, now if there's nothing further...
There is.
Oh?
I think I will have that martini after all.
You've completed the second step of your plan, haven't you, Grant? Yes. And now you must select the scene of the crime. After you leave Mrs. Markham's apartment, you drive back downtown. And only a few blocks from your hotel, you find the perfect setup. A dark, quiet street in the factory and warehouse district. Still unaware that Element X, moving relentlessly toward you, is now less than 50 miles away.
You watch the proprietor of a little tailor shop as he takes his coat, moves off toward the back of the establishment. You look around nervously, ready to run for it if anything goes wrong. But nothing does now. He's back in a matter of minutes, isn't he? Handing the newly pressed coat across the counter. You pay him and slip it on. Feel the bulge of a heavy envelope in the inside pocket.
Satisfactory, sir?
I think so.
Will you be dropping in again?
Yeah.
Perhaps if you'd call the day before.
Call. Okay.
We'll give you quick service, sir. Good morning.
Half a block away, you open the envelope and look inside. It's there, isn't it, Molly?
Oh, and if you're thinking of calling your boyfriend, Mr. Leonard, when I hang up, don't bother. He just left his apartment building.
You think of everything, don't you?
I do. He thinks he's got a date to meet me. While he's waiting up in Hollywood for me to show, you'll be meeting me somewhere else.
Please, listen to me. Give me a break.
I'm sorry.
But please.
Save it, sweetheart. Meet me in half an hour, or I'll write a little letter to the police.
No. No, don't do that.
Half hour. That's all you have. I'll be waiting at the southeast corner of 17th and Shannon. There's a building entrance about 15 feet south of the corner. I'll be standing in there.
You've played the part perfectly, haven't you, Grant? Yes. And the trap is set. Mrs. Markham is desperate now, isn't she? Yes, she's killed before, and you're certain you've driven her to the point where she'll kill again. You hurry to your car, start toward the scene of the rendezvous. While only a few miles away now, Element X is moving toward 17th and Shannon. But you've forgotten all about Element X, haven't you, Ralph? Twenty minutes later, you park your car down the block, move along the darkened street swiftly. Move as close to the corner as you dare. See Ralph Leonard standing in the shadows of the building entrance. You turn back now, ease down the street, and turn into a small bar a few doors away.
Howdy.
Evening.
What'll it be?
Scotch and soda, I guess.
Right.
Things sort of quiet around here, aren't they?
Yep. Not much doing this time of night.
Uh-huh. Why stay open?
Oh, business picks up later when the ship and the factories get off. A lot of the boys come in for a beer.
Oh, I see.
Here you are, sir.
Thanks. Have one on me?
Well, okay. Don't mind if I do. Beer's my drink. Well, here's cheers.
To success.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's that?
Sounded like shots to me.
It sure did. I'd say we'd better have a look, huh?
Will you?
I'll try.
Oh. What are you thinking?
Something pretty foolish.
that sometimes you'd really like to level?
Marty, darling, put your arms around me.
What, so I can hold on for the sleigh ride?
I wouldn't take you on a sleigh ride, wouldn't you?
You'd take anybody on me.
Marty.
Too bad it's not for keeps, Lucille. Tomorrow it could be a knife in my back.
Well, what if it's what you want me to say, but I don't know, Marty.
Your mind is spinning as you leave her, Marty. You're afraid, aren't you? Because the one thing you've tried to guard against is happening. Slowly, surely, you're falling for her. And you know what it can mean. You don't do anything about it the next day or in the days that follow. Just go along, trying to keep your head above water. Then one night, as you walk alone through the streets of Singapore, you catch sight of him again, the man she's had following you. Hurry forward, turn into an alley, and stop. And wait.
Here I am, mister. What do you want?
Just a moment, Mr. Hastings. I just wanted to talk it over.
Talk what over?
Why, the deal. I thought maybe you'd changed your mind the way you've been acting, avoiding me. Of course, this is a crazy setup.
Oh?
I naturally thought you were going to meet me here when you got in last week and set it all up.
Naturally, but... Well, I almost forgot what you looked like.
You didn't know what I looked like. You never saw me before. You made the deal with the man I worked for, remember?
I think you'd better keep talking, Mr...
Gray is good enough. Mr. Gray.
Might be.
Oh, I don't blame you for being careful, Mr. Hastings. Odd deal like this. But how does this sound to you? You take your wife to the Red Angel Cafe tomorrow night. Just casually have dinner with her, the last one. Then stroll out on the terrace.
Terrace?
Yes. Hardly anyone ever there. Just give me a chance to get lined up and then light her cigarette. The match will give me a target. An easy one.
What do you know? Stephen...
It hit you suddenly. Stephen Hastings, the weakling. He'd actually set up a plan to kill her at the end of the voyage. A plan that he was too weak to go through with. Perfect, isn't it? You can get rid of Lucille tomorrow night. And a few days later, you can drop around to the tailor shop, pick up the rest of the money, and leave town. But you're not sure that this is the way you want it to be, are you? Not even for $50,000.
What is the matter, Mr. Hastings? You haven't changed your mind.
Changed my mind? Well, I would like a little more time to think it over.
I've been doing some thinking. I want the $5,000 you agreed on, Mr. Hastings.
$5,000. Okay, we'll get it.
Yes. Please leave it in your hotel box. Small, new bill. Cash.
Yeah, sure. It's great.
Yes?
If the money's in the box. Tomorrow night, you'll see us, my wife and me, at the Red Angel Cafe.
On the terrace?
Yes. I'm to light the cigarette.
That is right, Mr. Hastings. And take your time thinking it over. It's quite a decision for a man to make. In your position, I don't blame you. You sleep on it. I don't mind waiting a little longer.
And you do think it over, don't you, Marty? All night and all the next day. It's the hardest decision you've ever had to make. You remember Lucille's beauty, her lovely voice, the fun you've had together during the little time you've known her, pleasant times you might have in the future. Then you remember her husband, Stephen. How she persuaded him to blackmail his best friend. How callous she was about her husband's death after the shipwreck. You recall how she lied to you at the time of the shipwreck when you asked her if there was anyone else in the cabin. And that lie made certain your husband's death. You also remember something else. The 20,000 she has. And the 30,000 she's expecting in a few days. And that evening...
Darling, how did you know about this place?
For the Red Angel?
Mm-hmm.
I heard somebody mention it. Like it?
Very much. And I like you for joining me.
Lucille, I...
You want to talk? Well, come on.
Where are we going?
Out on the terrace.
Oh, but... Oh, okay. Terrace.
You can see the lights in the water. Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Marty, you were going to tell me something, you said.
Yeah, I was.
I think I know what it is. You know, Marty, you're not like Stephen Doyle. You're anything but weak. Except when it comes to putting this sort of thing to you. Oh, give me a cigarette, Al.
What?
Give me a cigarette. Anything wrong with that?
No. Nothing wrong. Here you are.
Thank you, Marty. You know, just the way you're looking at me tells me something. You do love me, don't you?
I don't know. Do I?
Would you give me a light?
Light. You're really beautiful, Lucille.
Marty.
Something I'll never forget. Here's your light.
Thank you, darling.
Because the past several months of cold weather have been particularly tough on car batteries, here is some news that's worth remembering. There's now available an improved type battery which is not only much more powerful, but lasts far longer. I'm referring to the new Signal Deluxe battery, available only at Signal service stations. Unlike ordinary batteries, which may be guaranteed for 12 or 18 months, Signal Deluxe batteries are guaranteed a full 30 months on a service basis. Also, Signal Deluxe batteries deliver up to 35% more power to give you quick, dependable starting and to take care of the many electrical gadgets on modern cars. The secret of this superior performance in Signal Deluxe batteries is their superior construction, which includes the latest micro-porous all-rubber separator, plus an improved design all-rubber case, which doesn't need water as often. When you take into account the generous trade-in allowance Signal dealers are now giving for old batteries, plus their convenient credit terms, you can see why more new batteries at the same station where they fill up with the famous Go Farther gasoline at Signal Station.
It was like a whirlpool, the shipwreck, the swirling water. Marty South, fighting his way through the sea, awakened to find a new life and wealth placed in his hands by Lucille Hastings. But somehow, in the police station at Singapore, that part of the story was a little concerned as the arresting officers huddled around a man sitting under the glaring white light.
Come on, Gray. We know you did it.
No.
You've been followed since you asked for that money in Hastings' hotel box. The clerk didn't like your look.
And Mr. Hastings gave me the money. He left it for me.
What was it for? The killing?
No.
Gray, you were seen firing the gun. How do you think we arrested you so quickly?
I did it. But it was Hastings' idea. That's what the money was for.
But why did
I guess Hastings was just tired of everything. He was a weakling. Suicide's been on his mind for months, only he didn't have the nerve. So he hired us, me, to do it for him.
But why his wife,
too? Oh, how do I know? He was crazy about her, I guess. Didn't want anyone else to have her. That's the only reason I can think of why Hastings set up this deal. So they'd both die together.
Let that whistle be your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler, each Sunday night at the same time. Signal has asked me to remind you that today the Red Cross must not only be prepared to save lives and relieve suffering in any disaster that may occur anywhere in this country. In addition, it must provide blood and other needed help for our GIs overseas. Good reason why this year the Red Cross needs more of us to help, and more help from each of us. Featured in tonight's story were Bill Foreman as the Whistler, Jack Moyles, Betty Lou Gerson, Ted Von Elk, Raymond Burr, and Byron Kane. The Whistler was produced and directed by George W. Allen, with story by Joel Malone, music by Wilbur Hatch, and was transmitted overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. The Whistler was entirely fictional, and all characters portrayed on The Whistler are also fictional. Any similarity of names or resemblance to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Remember to tune in at this same time next Sunday when the Signal Oil Company will bring you another strange story by The Whistler. Marvin Miller speaking for the Signal Oil Company. Stay tuned now for Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, which follows immediately over most of these stations. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Thank you.